Well, after we started the podcast last week by mentioning just the wide variety of games we had, close games, blowout, surprises, I think that we would be remiss if I didn't point out this week, this last week in high school football, none of the games we were jazzed for were close. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer, Prep Sports Now. Bishop Gorman destroys Santa Margarita. Palo Verde shuts out Las Vegas. Mojave never even gives Sierra Vista a chance, suffocates them. Even the Thursday night game, which we thought was going to be close, Spring Valley destroyed Clark. So a little bit of a different week that we're going to recap this week on Prep Sports Now and look ahead, of course, to this weekend's games, which most of them falling on a Saturday because of the Jewish holidays. Once again, Prep Sports Now, we want to remind you that we're on the road to zero teen fatalities with the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. Don't drink and drive. Don't text and drive. Las Vegas Sun, Prep Sports Now. Brewer, what's up?
Here's the deal. I'm supposed to be ahead of this high school football thing. I'm supposed to know what happens before it happens. My picks this year have been awful. You're beating me by how many games? What, five games?
Am I ahead of you? I think I went in ahead of you by one. We had a lot of different picks this week.
I haven't picked the Palo game right all year.
Yeah.
I'm 0 for Palo.
Yeah.
Palo used to be, you know, locked, signed, sealed, and delivered, get the running clock going. Now I can't figure them out. One week they're getting shut out. The next week they're upset in Green Valley. And then Vegas, who, as you know, I'm always high on, doesn't score a point against Palo. So shout out to the Panthers proving me wrong. A lot of games I guess I was surprised with. I was really surprised with that Clark game. Clark goes from beating the defending state champions to looking awful on TV against Spring Valley. A real sloppy, sloppy game. That Division 1A is super wide open. Anybody could win.
Now what did I tell you last week? You had the list of six and one of them was going to win. I said we shouldn't limit it. Something else could happen. I think that was proven this week when maybe Clark's win over Faith Lutheran wasn't all that weird because Faith Lutheran turns around and loses again. So maybe they're just not that great.
To Cheyenne.
Yeah, to Cheyenne. I mean, Cheyenne's...
Who's won two games by the edge of their teeth.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe it is just crazier than we thought, which I kind of had a suspicion, but I think this week might have confirmed it.
Yeah. And then, of course, shout out to Bishop Gorman. They advanced to 5-0 on the season. They beat Santa Margarita. Tate Martell, three first-half touchdown passes. One, he lived up to that Johnny Manziel tweet that Dana White put out there. He scrambled all over, looked like he was going to get tackled for a big loss. I'm sure everybody in the stadium was like, throw the ball out of bounds, live to see another day. Somehow avoided it all, launched a ball about 50-plus yards in the air to John Lindsay, perfect stride touchdown. It was absolutely a disgustingly sick play. Gorman, ranked number two in the nation by USA Today, hosts St. John Bosco. It's Friday night, 6 o'clock start. 6 o'clock, not 7, on ESPNU. St. John Bosco, number one.
Cool.
So it's one versus two. It's Miami, Nebraska.
And John Bosco looks like, or Don Bosco, excuse me, looks like
it's John Bosco.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, they're playing John. Don Bosco's in New Jersey, right? Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
It's confusing because there's some other rankings that have
That's the thing. There's
some other rankings that have Don Bosco number one.
Yeah, I think USA Today is the one we're concerned with, maybe. Here,
why? Just because they have Gorman the highest?
No, because they're kind of the creme of the creme. They were the ones that used to always have the rankings.
All right.
Then Rivals came and everybody else. But here's my question. Finally, or maybe my point, not my question, we always see polls, right? My high school soccer team, Chaparral High, number two in the nation, final poll, 93, just to let everybody know. But how do you compare a team from California to a team from Nevada to a team to New Jersey to a team from Atlanta?
You can't.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
But at least this week, we get to one versus two.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Definitely, I mean, no matter how you rank up two of the best teams in the nation, this is going to be a lot of fun. This is a game we've looked forward to all year. And Gorman, I mean, what can you say? They've had their trials, I guess, but to get to this spot undefeated, you can't ask for anything more.
Yeah, and you saw, you were at the Bingham game. They were lucky to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And just a crazy back-and-forth game. I covered over the phone the Centennial Corona game where Gorman couldn't stop a nosebleed. They give up 42 points, 1,000.5 yards or whatever it was, and they went on the two-point conversion. Then Santa Margarita, which threw the ball around on them brilliantly last year, I think is going to have a great day. And while they did put up some big numbers, they didn't put up enough points. They only scored 10. I think the game turns in the first quarter when Jabari Butler's beat for a touchdown. It looks like the guy's in, and he strips the ball from him on the end zone, falls on the ball, and the referees say, fumble, Gorman ball. So I didn't get a chance to look at the tape. I don't know if he was the kid that scored or not, but changes the game right there. Two plays later, Martell Lindsey touchdown. Gorman takes a 7-0 lead.
Jabari Butler made, I can't remember now, but a huge play in the Bingham game I was at too. So it seems like it's a different Gorman guy we're talking about every week. I mean, Tate Martell obviously had the huge highlight to Tyjon Lindsey, but Butler has done some big things for them too. And I think that's indicative of just their season, how loaded they are. It's been a different guy stepping up and making a play like that every week.
I can't say the kid's first name. Obim's brother, I think it's Akeem Okike, the linebacker.
Akeem, yeah.
He flattened some dude.
Yeah.
Flattened him. It was a very tough hit. Mm-hmm. Just saying. That's all I got. Flattened him.
Yep. So we'll get to our picks later for Gorman and St. John Bosco. We should mention the game's on ESPNU, right?
The U.
Friday night. There's no other local games Friday night. Not waiting till Saturday. So kind of got a stage of their own, which deserves for this type of game deserves.
I think it's going to be one of those games to remember. You could argue, and I know that Gorman people disagree, but you could argue it's one of the most important games they've hosted at that new Fertitta Field.
Why would they argue? There's no argument. What could you possibly argue is bigger?
Well, playing for a state championship.
You don't play for a state championship at the new field.
Well, no, but you had to beat Palo a few times to get there, like in the state semis.
Absolutely no. If someone at Gorman says there is a bigger game than this on their home field, they're lying to you. And they're just saying that because they don't want to give the appearance that they're above everyone else. But they are above everyone else.
No, but what if you lost that game to Palo?
There's no chance they're losing.
I'm just saying.
There's no chance. They could play their third string and they would win.
You're telling me the first year of the Sanchez era, 09, after Palo had beaten them by 40 points the year before.
Okay, there was a chance they were still like a 3-touchdown favorite probably.
That game was real close.
Okay, well.
Yeah, that was like a 10-point spread.
Either way.
You're right.
You and I can say objectively, without having the influence and having to worry about what people are going to say, this is by far the biggest game they've ever had here. Even that Palo game, that's like, that meant a lot.
I mean, last year
stuff,
they played the team from Miami that was number one.
Yeah, they weren't undefeated at the very end of their national schedule. If they win this, they're winning the mythical national championship, right?
Yeah. Well, if they win this and they beat all the local teams.
They're going to beat all the local teams.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
In the Miami game was big because of the stature of both teams like this, but they had already lost a game, if I remember correct.
No. That was their first loss of the year, right?
Okay.
But they weren't ranked.
I thought they had lost a game.
Pull it up. You got your computer.
Yeah, Gorman's offense struggles early, can't recover, and lost to Mountain Point.
They lost to Mountain Point. That's right.
So I that was a big game too. But this one is just
so the fact
this was the year they came into the season ranked number one in the nation. Bosco was a.
Bosco is every bit as good.
Yeah, every bit as good. I think this is the game.
The quarterback for Bosco is like the number one ranked quarterback in the nation. He's going to UCLA. Gorman's tight end, Alize Jones, number one ranked tight end in the nation, going to UCLA.
Interesting.
Yeah. The parallels here.
Yeah. So, I mean, it should be a great game.
Is this the week? I think, first of all, Gorman's crowd has been great this year. Would you agree with me on that? The game you were at, the game I was at this past week, Margarita traveled well, but Gorman was sold out. Because this is the only game in town, I would think all of Vegas would show up to support Gorman. I think this would be the one week people were like, I don't care. Let's have our boys go beat their boys on national TV, and let's go root for them.
I don't know if support is the right word. I think some extra people will show up, but you really think those people are going to be there cheering for Gorman? I think they might just be there to watch. That's what I would think, at least.
I mean, I think the kids would cheer for Gorman because they're kids, and kids like kids. I don't know if the adults would cheer for Gorman. just because it's not in their DNA.
It'll be interesting. I see extra people showing up, so I agree with you for that, but I feel like it's going to be more people just there to see the game.
See the show, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I wonder what something special they have planned. Like, there's got to be something they're going to do.
New
like,
video package?
A new video package, new uniform, new...
Well, they have new uniforms like every game, right?
Well, so I think ESPN might provide the uniforms for this one.
Okay.
If I remember from last year. But I just... You know, God, I would love to see, like, first play of the game, like a flea flicker or something. Fireworks.
All right. Well, from Gorman or from Bosco?
From anybody. I just want to see a good game.
Yeah, I mean, I love plays like that, but I don't think either of these teams need to resort to gimmicks early.
Okay.
I think they've both proven they're good enough to be here.
Let me tell you the one category Gorman is the worst in Las Vegas in, even worse than Rancho.
Defending fake punts?
Yeah, fake punt yardage of the season.
Wow,
who's
I guess
better
that, right?
At defending fake punts, Rancho or Gorman? Rancho. At least according to the numbers.
Yeah, well, probably not this week now that you've called them out. But yeah, I think that the game I was at, I think it was 3 of 4 maybe, Bingham converted. They were creative, though. I give it to Bingham.
And they had that kicker, man. That was probably – I saw the highlight of that tape, that kid that hit that.
I told you that kid is like one of the best kickers I've ever seen.
Going to Utah, he hammered it.
Yeah, that's a big get for the Utes. All right, well, transition into the rest of the schedule, and I guess going with Gorman, I'm going to throw something out to you and see if you think I'm crazy.
Okay.
I want to first of all say that I don't necessarily believe this. I'm just saying this to elicit a response. But Gorman's the best team in town, no doubt. They deserve to be number one. Behind that, we've seen Liberty kind of 2 weeks in a row not look that great. They got shut out against Hamilton, barely beat Coronado, who looked Coronado's tough. And I know our new top 10 is coming out this week. What if – oh, and the other part of this, Palo Verde has beaten two teams that are supposed contenders – in the Sunrise, in Las Vegas and Green Valley. Could I make an argument that the four top teams in town are all on the west side? I think you could right now. I think you could say Gorman 1, 2 Arbor, 3 Centennial, 4 Palo. I really don't think that would be that crazy. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, we'll find out this week because Palo's at Liberty.
This is the week to talk about it.
This is the week to talk about it. I think Liberty is... Liberty's got a huge problem in that its line, its offensive line, is not as good as the Liberty offensive line that you know and love. And then when you throw in a freshman quarterback who has been good at times but at other times has looked like a freshman, they're having a hard time moving the ball and scoring. I just think that Liberty has 4 or 5 really special players that could take over at any time. And I, you know...
They're tough defensively, certainly.
Tough as nails defensively. The problem is offensively. They're having a hard time running the rock. Tuilagi had the ankle issue. The line's not as good. And when you can't establish yourself on the ground, you can't get your quarterback time to pass.
I think they had negative yardage, or at least very close to negative yardage, if you added in the sacks.
Against Hamilton.
And even without him, they only had like 30 yards or something.
Yeah, and they gave Hamilton a good run early.
Yeah, I mean, Hamilton, one of their scores was on a trick play. I think another one, they like recovered a fumble and ran it pretty far. So like I said, I don't think you can even nitpick Liberty's defense at this point. They've been great.
6 turnovers, you're not going to do anything when you turn the ball over that much.
I thought it was 5, but either way.
5. Once you clear 3,
yeah, I agree.
The thing is that I think right now Liberty is – open to be upset or to be beat. I don't even know if you call it an upset. Coronado gave them a good run, but if you look at Coronado's numbers, they barely put up any numbers against Liberty. When I typed the box score in, that's what I saw. Green Valley, you know, Lopez has been banged up virtually all year. I just don't – I don't know. There's something that – I want to like Green Valley. I want to say, Case, Green Valley's going to win the Sunrise – Lake and Lopez are going to go off on a white horse, and everything's going to be beautiful.
Together on a white horse?
No, separate white horses. But what I'm saying is there's something about Green Valley that's holding me back. I don't know if it's the inconsistent play is why, but maybe I still think negatively about that defense. You know, I don't know what it is. Maybe they lack that toughness. Maybe I don't have confidence in their receivers. I don't know exactly why – I can't fall in love with Green Valley. But we go back to Liberty. The good news is that it's still September, right?
That's for sure.
You got to peak toward the end. If anybody could do it, it's Liberty. And it's not like this is a bad Liberty team. They got some players.
Oh, no, they're not bad. And I want to make it clear, you know I love Liberty. I'm not picking against them the rest of the year, I think, until they play Gorman. Just that being said, I think given the early returns and what has happened, I think right now our review should be the number two team.
I agree. Now, here's the question.
And I think there's a case that Centennial and Palo should be ahead of Liberty, at least going into this game.
I think Centennial – I think Liberty is significantly better than Palo, and you're going to laugh, and this will likely be our $5 bet.
I don't necessarily disagree. I just think from what you've seen right now, I mean
– Do we take a team down from number two for losing to an out-of-state team?
No.
Could we take a team from a ranking because they didn't win by enough?
Yeah, that happens all the time. I went into this college football season not thinking Oklahoma was the best team. Right now, I would have them number one.
Oklahoma?
I'm talking college football.
Oh, okay.
I think they're the best team in college football right now.
Better than UNLV?
Yeah, okay. Just a little bit better. That's just the case. I hate when you get too drawn into preseason rankings. I think you have to do with what you've seen on the field. Right now, I've seen Arborview just blow out everyone they've played.
Hold on. What was the score of the Basic game?
41-20. They were then.
They blew out Basic.
Yeah, they blew out Basic.
What
Basic
did Arbor
twice late?
What? So what? They scored during the game. What was the Arborview Basic score? I mean, the Liberty Basic score.
I mean, 42-12. Pretty comparable.
Not that Basic is this common denominator, but I mean, Arborview is good. I saw them in person, but.
44-14, Arborview versus Canyon Springs is more impressive than anything Liberty's done.
That's true. I can't dispute it. You're telling me that beating Canyon by 30 is better than beating a good Coronado team, even if it was close?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
I sound like I hate Coronado now.
Who wins between Coronado and Canyon?
Coronado. Not. It's 1 point.
They won. I mean, what do you want them to cover? I mean, it's
tricky. If you're ranking the teams, shouldn't you look at this and decide which one's better?
Well, yeah, but this was a nip and tuck, old fashioned backyard brawl. Physical Liberty dominated. They were stronger.
If you think a 1 point win over Coronado is better than a 30 point win over Canyon Springs, you're just beyond help.
Okay.
That's ridiculous. How can you make that case?
I don't know. So you're doing the rankings. You go Gorman, Arbor, Liberty.
I think there's a – I don't disagree with you that Liberty could still be number two.
Because don't tell me Centennial is four.
The better team.
Because Centennial had to get through Foothill.
And Liberty has the better defense. But, no, I think Centennial could be three because the reason I think they could be three is, look, Palo Verde has played supposedly two of the best teams in town and beaten them. What did Centennial do to Palo Verde?
Yeah, but Palo didn't have
them.
A quarterback that day.
It's the same quarterback they've had all year.
Well, it was his first game. Hutchinson, right?
Look at his stats. They're about the same. They are not dependent on their quarterback play.
Well, then how did Centennial struggle against Foothill?
It was the classic hangover game. They got a little high on themselves, weren't thinking that much of Foothill. All I'm saying is I think there's an argument to be made.
Okay. And then you would just slop in all the Sunrise teams at the bottom of the poll?
Well, I just think that... Honestly, if it's my poll right now, what I'm doing is 1, Gorman, 2, Arborview, 3, Liberty, 4, Centennial, 5, Palo. But
so who's 6 then? Coronado?
Coronado.
Okay.
Yeah. But I just think there's a case that could be made that maybe all these West Side teams are better than the East Side.
I don't dispute that.
Well, it seems like you are. Everything I say, you're getting on me.
No, I'm devil's advocate.
Okay.
We're here to debate about it.
All right. Okay.
I mean, Liberty right now needs to look at itself in the mirror and say we're in deep trouble of turning in our shoulder pads a little too early. Right?
Maybe. I mean, I still...
Maybe.
I'm trying to make the case that they shouldn't be ranked there right now, but I still don't see them losing any of these games.
I'm telling you right now, forget about the team names. If you put Green Valley's body of work, Coronado's body of work, and Liberty's body of work, they're clearly... 1, 2, 3 in any order in the Sunrise.
I agree with that.
The middle tier would be Foothill Canyon, Vegas, right?
I can't believe you put Vegas in the middle tier. I'm so proud of you.
You have to score to be in the top tier.
Hey, there's one thing that's been consistent for the 5 years I've been in town. Actually, this might be the sixth football season I've had. Vegas has always been a middle tier team.
Okay.
And you've always put them in the top.
Okay.
So I think we're getting okay. to the right space here.
It took me a while to realize the Vegas region run and their glory days are behind them and that they can't score. But on any given day, I think Coronado, Green Valley, or Liberty could beat each other.
That's fair.
And if either of them won the region to play Gorman on that state semifinal day, which is the same day as UNLV beating Reno for the Fremont Cannon, I would think I wouldn't be surprised.
We're just all over the place with our arguments today because while I'm saying there's a case that these teams should be above Liberty, I think I disagree with the statement of on any given day they could beat each other. I think Liberty wins against those two teams 7 out of 10 times.
Even though they had to labor to get through Coronado?
Almost everything went right for Coronado
right.
in this last game, in my opinion, from right. what I can gather.
Do you think that Liberty could score with Green Valley?
I think that Green Valley's not going to be able to score that much against Liberty.
All right.
That's fair.
I think that Liberty's right. – I really believe in Liberty's defense.
Again, there's something about Green Valley. I don't know if it's toughness or consistency or whatever it is. I actually think that Green Valley might get a game from basic. I mean, I think they're going to win by double digits. But I think if Green Valley plays just average and basic plays like it did against Cimarron – right?
There's been crazier things, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Basic's not as bad as I thought they were going to be.
It seems like they've gotten better.
They have.
So that there's my part two to your argument of, oh, look what Liberty did against what you just admitted they've gotten better, right? And they still...
Basic?
Yeah, Basic has gotten better.
Started from the bottom, of course.
Exactly.
Get better.
Thank you. You just made my point for me. You're the same one that just called me out that Liberty was much more impressive against Basic than Arborview. I contend it was very close. It was a touchdown difference, and Basic has gotten a lot better. So therefore, Arborview's win is just as impressive against Basic.
All right, Arborview's going to win state.
Thanks for making my point for me.
All right, Arborview takes state on
no,
me.
No, Arborview ain't.
Arborview
not.
On me. Arborview on three. Let's see. Dude, this argument is going to be over on Saturday. Arborview Coronado. They play.
Mm-hmm.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, and you're so confident. I'm assuming you're picking Coronado.
No, I picked Arborview.
Oh, wow, stunner. Can't believe it.
No, I mean, God forbid, though, Arborview falls behind and they got to throw the ball.
That's a good point.
All right. Try to run the rock on Talich. Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
Anything else we need to discuss?
Well, we might as well talk about Faith.
Wow, Faith Lutheran, defending state champions. Coming into the season, both you and I had them a little bit in the middle of the pack. Said, you know, there were going to be some challenges this year. But then maybe we got swayed by the glistening reports and kind of made them the favorite again after a week or two. And that might have been premature because they lost to Cheyenne in double overtime a week after that Clark loss. And
they went for two.
Yeah.
Back to our argument.
All right, well, that's
interesting. You got to do more. Faith Lutheran, I think, has fallen into the trap where they see the shirts that say state champions. They see the banners that said state champions. They wear the rings that say state champions. And they think because they're state champions, they could show up at a school like Clark or Cheyenne and win because they're Faith. And they're just not there. You got to do more than show up. That might be too harsh.
No, I think that's a convenient narrative, but I don't necessarily think it's true. I think that could have been true 2 weeks ago when they
played
Clark. But when they played Cheyenne, what were we saying in here last week? Or definitely what the banner you would have been on, that's going to refocus them. They're going to realize they need to play better.
That's true.
I think they had to have gone into this game focused. I just think it might be we discounted the loss of those skill players a little too much. I mean, they had their two best skill players are gone.
But they got a D1 – lineman.
Yeah, you can have a great line if you don't have anyone that's clearly they're still good. They have someone that can run and throw and all that, but I mean they had two just elite level guys and you don't just replace those guys that easily.
Keenan Smith.
Keenan Smith, who's the other guy? DeGeorge, I think.
Vinny DeGeorge. Maybe that was his brother. Okay.
Well,
either way, you're right. Faith is taking a step back. Shout out to Cheyenne for beating Spring Valley and Faith. Close games. They're 2-0, first place of the Division 1A Sunset. in a first place tie with Mojave. Flanagan beats Brody. Rattlers beat Mountain Lions. Mojave's in first place, kind of controlling its own destiny. They play Faith this week in kind of a do-or-die game for Faith. Faith can't go 0-3.
Yeah, I mean, the playoff spots are at a premium in that division, am I right? I
don't have any of them now. They are. And then you got to know when you take fourth, you got to go to Overton and play Moapa Valley, which is no easy task.
What if in the first round it's Faith Lutheran at Moapa? I think Moapa's not rooting for that.
No. I know they're not rooting for that.
It's possible.
That would be a great game. Listen, here's Moapa Valley's biggest problem. They have the weakest schedule in the history of Nevada high school football.
You've talked about this before, that you're worried about
weakest,
that.
The weakest – I mean, you're not going to get better when your starters play 12 minutes against Sunrise Mountain, and then the next week you play 12 minutes against Rancho, and the next minutes you play – the next game you play 12 minutes against Virgin Valley.
Yeah, I know we're going by the rubric, and I believe it's the same for – all sports, but you wish these divisions were balanced a little better.
Yeah, and I don't mind Moapa Valley being on the lower level because they only have an enrollment of like 300 kids, and it's not like they're world beaters this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're playing teams they're classified to play. It's just Sunrise Mountain, God bless them. Rancho is getting better. I mean, Rancho is getting better. Are they going to challenge Moapa Valley? Never. I mean, let's be honest. You know? You just hope that nobody gets hurt for either team.
Makes sense.
And it is what it is.
Yeah, so
if I'm DP, I'm thinking we got a chance. I mean, there's not one team that's scared. After watching that Clark Spring Valley game on TV, if I'm Desert Pines, I'm like, we got an opportunity to make it to the state semis. There's not one team in that Division 1A that I don't think Desert Pines could beat except Moapa Valley.
I mean, I don't think it's impossible for them to beat Moapa Valley.
Well, they haven't been able to.
Yeah, I agree.
Way.
I mean, I'm never picking them against Moapa Valley, but I could see things breaking right. I mean, I don't think it's as far-fetched them beating Moapa Valley as the team that beat Moapa Valley last year in the playoffs.
Well, when you throw seven picks, that's what
exactly.
happens.
Exactly. So anything can happen, I think.
In the Division 1A, I mean, literally anything can happen. It's just the Spring Valley-Clark game was, oh, my God, just a comedy of errors for the first half. Like, the teams couldn't get out of each other's way.
And then in the first half, though, it was still close. The second half, Spring Valley just turned it.
Again, Clark probably had a few guys down, couldn't run the ball. I mean, it's literally first and 10. Spring Valley's got 14 guys in the box. The whole city knows the ball's going to Tyreek Wells. He gets the ball, and there's three guys in front of him. Over and over again. Spring Valley gets the ball. Clark's got nine guys in the box. You know they're going to hand it off. Same thing. Punt, fumble, error, turnover, blah, blah, blah. Here we go again.
Doesn't seem like you had the best time watching this game.
No, it's just frustrating because you know me. I'm on the Clark bandwagon. I want to see the original schools, Valley, Clark, Rancho, Shap, do well. And Clark beats Faith, and you think, okay, they figured it out. And it just was a comedy of errors case. But anyways, let's do the picks. That's why people listen.
All right.
Go ahead. You go first.
Do we start with the big one, St. John Bosco at Bishop Gorman?
Might as well. Let's get it out of the way.
I'm not an expert by any means.
Neither am I, obviously.
From what I know about the St. John Bosco team, I think they're going to come in here and beat Gorman. When I was at the Gorman game, there were already people talking about this game. I was like looking on Twitter to get the feedback, and people from Bosco were like, oh, we're watching you struggle with Bingham, Gorman, blah, blah, blah. I think they were fired up by Gorman being the number one team to start the year. I think they have something to prove. And look, Gorman was phenomenal last week. Was this probably their best game against Santa Margarita? I'd say at least just judging by the stats and looking at it.
Well, yeah, you threw out the Brophy game just because
they were outmatched.
Yeah.
But I still think Gorman having to play these teams week after week, I think they're a little run down. And I know Bosco will have that too, having to travel here. I think Gorman is great, but I don't see him winning this game. I got the St. John Bosco.
I actually agree with you. I think Gorman, forget about the gauntlet of the schedule and how this is week six and how they could be exhausted. I thoroughly think that this game is something they've been waiting for, preparing for, and are going to be fired up to play. There'll be no excuses, no lingering injuries. I just think that, you know, once the ball's kicked off, that the team from California probably has a few more weapons than the team from Las Vegas.
And that's crazy to say because of the weapons.
Absolutely
this team
crazy
has.
To say. I will say that, you know, the film's out there and, you know, Gorman's pass defense is still a work in progress. And Bosco
seems
does.
Seems like they did pretty good last week.
They did. No? I mean, they gave up a lot of yards in chunks. You know, Margarita settled for field goal once. They had the touchdown that was called back. I'm not ripping the Gorman pass defense, but, you know, you don't give up 42 points to Centennial Corona and then all of a sudden say the problem's fixed because you played good against Santa Margarita. You know, I think the Gorman players, you know, have a lot of pride. Obviously, they're competitive and they're talented, and they did a great job to right the ship. I just think that the quarterback coming in on Friday is a different animal. Going to be fun. Can't wait. It's rare for Gorman to be the underdog in its own venue.
I was trying to look up St. John Bosco's team name. It's the Braves, huh? So at least there's one good team named the Braves.
Yes.
All right. So we both are on St. John Bosco. Let's get to the big games in town. I think they're going to – actually, before we get – I my picks will say this on LasVegasSun.com, but I think St. John Bosco wins by more than a touchdown. You only have them by five.
Yeah.
I think they win by a couple.
Couple touchdowns?
Yeah.
I don't think Gorman's ever lost at home by in the Sanchez era by a lot of points. They always keep it close.
That's true. I mean, Gorman's great. I just – I've always had a feeling this was going to be the one where they trip up.
I agree. I think you, me, and most of the world or the city thinks the same thing.
All right. Palo Verde at Liberty. God, this game, this Saturday, so can't be there, but I'm unfortunate. I would love to be at this game. The first Liberty at Palo Verde game of, like, 4 years ago, that was like Liberty announcing that it was in power in town, nearly beat Palo Verde. That was like one of the more memorable games I've covered. I would love to see it again because I think Palo does have a fighting chance. Their defense was just great against Las Vegas. Preseason All-Sun member Jaron Campbell did a little bit of everything. The kid was a beast. I think Palo Verde can keep it close. That being said, I'm not going to pick against Liberty.
I'm not picking against Liberty either. I think that Liberty has a heart-to-heart, and they say, let's show the world who we are.
I certainly give them enough fuel by saying that Arborview and Centennial are better than them.
I think Liberty makes a statement. They put up a lot of points. I think they win convincingly against Palo.
You said that you wanted this to be the $5 game of the week.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Now that I'm even because of your love, you're maybe fizzling.
Yeah.
Going down the drain, love for Las Vegas cost you last week.
Breaking up is hard to do.
You have three touchdowns for Liberty. So what are you making the line here?
11.5. Liberty.
11.5? You picked them by 22.
I exaggerate on this all the time. What do you mean? Liberty, 11.5. That is fair. $5.
No, I don't think I don't think 11.5 is fair. If you pick them by 21, what about like 13?
Well, let's put it down and see if we come up with something better.
Okay,
13.5. That's a little too high for my liking.
All right. Well, I think. I mean, as high as you are on Liberty, you have me convinced. Maybe if honestly, I think you played this wrong. If you would have come in here and said, you know, you have a point. Maybe Palo Verde should be ranked ahead of them. If you had that in my mind, I might have taken 11.5.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I think Liberty is still Liberty.
All right.
I mean.
We'll come back to it. It's
okay, they don't score in one game, and all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe we should ask them to go to the Division 1A and play Boulder City. I mean, come on. It's Liberty. Dude, they're all going to be okay. At least they're taking the game.
No, I've said I'm not picking against Liberty the rest of the year, so I obviously still like them. I'm so disappointed with you in this next pick. You're just jumping off the bandwagon so easily. Your team, Las Vegas, Centennial at Las Vegas, you were picking against them.
Here's the deal, Case. Centennial is going to win this game against Las Vegas because Centennial is a physical team that pounds the rock. Our Sun Player of the Week, we forgot to mention, from the
Centennial
Bulldogs. So shout out to
Ramondre Stevenson.
22 carries, 194 yards, 4 touchdowns last week in the game against Legacy. And I think Centennial has established its run game. I know Centennial's more physical in the trenches than Las Vegas. And
by about a mile.
By about a mile.
By about the distance between Centennial and Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's not. This is not gang up on Las Vegas Day because I still freaking love my Wildcats, especially the linebackers. but I just don't see them. You don't go against – okay, Centennial shut out Palo. Palo shut out Vegas. There's no way Vegas is going to beat Centennial.
Yeah, I just
unless they listened to me about how good they were Vegas and they thought they could just show up at Palo and roll through them, and now all of a sudden it's a wake-up call. They have a great week of practice, and they go shock the world.
I mean, maybe that's a possibility, because I will tell you, and I know it's going to sound like I'm ganging up on Las Vegas, but I'm just bitter because I kind of started caving on my Vegas is overrated thing the last couple weeks. You had me convinced maybe they're good. Maybe they were just in their heads because this was an awful performance. They were terrible.
And you should have seen what they did to Legacy 2 weeks ago.
I can't
figure out is – against Legacy, it looks like they're gonna challenge Liberty for the region, and now all of a sudden they don't score against Palo, and only that they look like the inferior physical team.
They had 86 yards of offense.
Vegas is supposed to be nasty and physical and hard hitting and high flying and quick on offense, and they were none of that.
That's what it looked like to me. And our photographer Ellie Basco, who was at the game,
he knows very little about football.
He seems like he knows a little bit. He brought it up to me, and I was already thinking it as like Vegas just looked like at the beginning of the game, Palo Verde hit him a few times, and they just weren't really interested in getting hit. They were kind of scared to be as physical as Palo Verde was the rest of the time. And if you have that problem against Palo Verde, I'm scared for your prospects against Centennial.
Mind you,
same thing against Palo Verde.
Mind you, this is the same Centennial team that looked flawed against Foothill.
Yeah, so crazier things have happened, but there's just no way I'm picking Vegas when they couldn't move the ball at all against Palo Verde.
I'm picking Centennial as well. The good news is that we'll hear from people at every school saying that we ripped every team in town from Gorman to Rancho this week.
I don't think we've ripped Centennial all year. We've been pretty high on them.
Love Centennial. Okay, next up, your Arborview Aggies hosting Coronado.
Arborview is going to win this game.
Okay.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, I know Arborview wants to play a little bit better than last week where they were just so unimpressive to you against Basic. But I think they're going to be up for this game. I wouldn't be surprised if Coronado keeps it close for most of the game, but I think Arborview will pull away and should win by a couple touchdowns, which is the same you have it. So it sounds like we're pretty much agreeing.
I agree. Okay.
But like you said, if Arborview falls behind, that's how you can beat them.
Oh, If Arborview falls behind by double digits, they're in trouble.
Coronado is capable with their offense.
They are.
I don't know. I mean, Coronado played really well. I don't know. This could be closer than we think.
Okay.
I mean,
we still like Arborview, though.
I'm picking Arborview, but I wouldn't be stunned.
Okay. I mean, listen, Coronado's going to have 14 kids catch a pass.
From John Ferrella.
From John Ferrella. The problem is that you got to run the rock. You got to have good balance in high school football. Mojave at Faith. This is a great game. I'm sorry.
I was just kind of torn on this one.
I'm torn on this one, too, to be honest with you.
And I think I'm going to – I think I owe them something after just basically saying they weren't going to beat Sierra Vista, this and that. They came out and they destroyed Sierra Vista. I think right now Mojave's the better team. It's like we've forgotten about them. They're undefeated.
And they're scoring 40 points a game.
I mean, this looks like a good spot because at some point, Faith Lutheran's going to bounce back. But I don't necessarily think we should just say it's going to be today. I mean, Mojave.
Bro, it has to be today. It can't be tomorrow. Faith has to win this game. Faith cannot be 0-3 and have to win out to maybe get the 4. They need to win on Saturday. They are going to beat Mojave. Mojave is 4-0. They're great. They're in the driver's seat to go to the state tournament. They have the best player in the Division 1A in Ty Flanagan. But you know what they don't have? They're not desperate to beat Faith. They're not backs against the wall. They could lose this game, still be the number one seed in the sunrise and in the sunset. Faith is desperate. They have to win this game. They're going to be focused and prepared and well coached up. They've got 92 coaches on that staff. Every kid's going to have a coach this week, and they're going to come out and show us that they're the defending state champions. Don't argue.
How many yards do you think Flanagan had against Sierra Vista?
Who cares? They mixed in the they mixed in other kids. Read Tristan Story.
Exactly. They had that's terrifying to me.
Against
they
killed Sierra Vista though.
I think Sierra Vista's good.
We don't know. Sierra Vista had beaten Sunrise Mountain and Western.
I think they're good. And to mix in some other kids and have Flanagan, who's the best player in the D1A, only have 60 yards, to have Davion Fletcher touch the ball four times for 127 yards.
He broke free. You could break free on the Division 1A.
RV.
Every defense is like Swiss cheese. There's holes everywhere.
Why are you changing your opinion? When we first talked about this, you said this is going to be a close game and tough to call. Now you're acting like Faith Lutheran is going to hijack the RV and run them over.
No. Faith is going to win. It's going to be a close game.
I like Mojave in this one.
Do you want to bet on it?
What's the line?
Pick.
No, I don't want to. I would rather take the Liberty game than this one.
Uh-huh.
I think this is 50-50.
Ah, 50-50. Okay. Legacy at Cimarron.
If you give me three, I'll take Mojave. It's at Faith Lutheran, too.
I'm going to give you three with a team that hasn't won against a team that's undefeated with the best player?
Defending state champions.
Who cares?
Best line in the D1A.
Defending state champions that lost half their team.
Here's what I will say. I think we've already kind of hinted at this, but Faith Lutheran, I think, is going to have the advantage in the trenches. Mojave has the advantage at the skill positions.
Oh, yeah. Mojave is like a track team, and Faith Lutheran is slow.
It's
well,
like
with that said,
track team versus a road crew.
Well, I think Rubalacaba might be as quick as anybody Mojave has.
I love when you call teams slow. Once a week, there's a slow team. It was Arborview last week. This week's it's Faith Lutheran.
Well, I like speed. I like athletes. I like quickness.
Yeah,
forgive me for liking speed.
Canyon Springs had 20 guys faster than Arborview, and then went and lost 44-14.
They couldn't get. Come on, it was a bad week. You're such a hater.
Legacy at Cimarron Memorial.
Arborview right now is ahead of everybody because they have great coaches and they prepare in the offseason. Okay, it takes Canyon Springs and other teams a few games to get going because they're just not as structured.
I just got to hold you accountable for
something. I'm just saying.
And I think that was overboard
Arborview
when you said.
Arborview was always good in freaking in September because
we should know
they're
exactly,
Arborview.
We should know exactly what you said, but you said something like Canyon Springs has 15 guys faster than Arborview, which I say is absolutely
JV,
insane.
The Canyon Springs JV team.
Exactly, which I stand by is absolutely insane.
Okay.
And I think the score.
It was insane. Okay, you're right. All right. Legacy at Cimarron.
I'm going Legacy. I think they're gonna bounce back here offensively. They're probably a little bit better than Cimarron. I'm going with the Longhorns.
I saw Cimarron get railed by Basic, and I think in that game they got away from playing physical down your throat football. They tried to get a little too fancy. Can't get fancy with Legacy because they're quicker than you on the edge. I think Cimarron had the week to prepare. They're going to ground and pound, and they win a close one, my opinion.
What about why can't I argue what you just did about Faith Lutheran, about how desperate Legacy is? They're 0-3. They need a win. They still need the first
win. Legacy
didn't
win state last year, and Legacy hasn't lost a league game yet. This is a non-league game.
That's
why you can't argue.
But you need to get on. You got to get on the board at some point. I mean, this is a new administration. Aren't they itching to win?
Everybody's itching to win. You play to win, right? You're not playing for fun.
Yeah, but part of picking games always is you got to kind of if you're criticizing me for this, you did the same thing. You kind of got to try to guess who's going to be motivated and who's going to come in more with the.
I just think Cimarron's that team.
All right, I mean I can't pick a team, and they did have a bye week, but 44-19 their last time out against Basic.
I know. Basic that gave Arborview a great.
Should
game.
This be the $5 game of the week? Because I'm picking Legacy.
What do you want the number to be? Pick?
You have all these teams winning by a touchdown. You want me to give pick?
I have Cimarron winning by 5. I'll give you -5 Legacy, +5 Legacy.
Oh, I'll take that for sure. That was more than I was even going to ask for. I was going to say like 3.5.
It's all right. +5 Legacy, -5 Legacy. Next game.
Okay. L-Dog.
3-0 L-Dog.
At Canyon Springs.
At Canyon.
And El Dorado, I know you look at their schedule and you say, well, they haven't really played that many, even though they're 3-0. But look, this team is a lot better, and they genuinely think they can play with Canyon Springs. I mean, they deserve to be the underdog, but it seems like they've got seniors in the right places. Their defense is playing better. I don't think it's that crazy to say El Dorado hangs with them here, which maybe like at the beginning of the year, if we would have said that, you could have colored us insane.
Exactly. You would have laughed off the show. I have the same opinion. I've Canyon win 31-20. I think it's going
to
be a good game.
Yeah, I hate to pick against El Dorado because I think they're like the best story early in the year of what they've done, despite who it's come against. But I don't see them beating Canyon Springs.
Exactly. And I think the win against Shap is actually a little better than it turns out to be, because Shap gave Mojave a good game and Shap gave DP a good game. And we have high opinions of both those teams.
Yeah.
Okay. Basic at Durango.
It's just a tough year for Durango. I don't see them getting a whole lot better, whereas I do see Basic improving every week. So I agree. All right. Silverado and Bonanza, where you reference one of your favorite games when Bonanza upset Silverado, because we did not think much of Bonanza that year in 2011. Turned out they were pretty good, but that was still a huge upset.
Finished 7-3 in 2011. Haven't won two games since.
No upset this year. Silverado is going to blast Bonanza.
Shadow Ridge at Valley.
Shadow Ridge.
I agree.
I don't know what more.
Let's not throw that.
What about the one Shadow Ridge kid did have like...
Give a shout
200 out. Yards. Now I got to find his name. The kid was unbelievable. We'll come back to him as soon as I get his name. So in the meantime... the next game is Moapa Valley at Rancho. Break it down for us, Brewer.
Well, you know my sentiments about that. Rancho's getting better. Love Coach Armstrong. Moapa Valley isn't getting better playing that schedule. And I'm sorry. That's the truth.
Shadow Ridge, it was Dominic Williams, had 24 of Shadow Ridge's 25 points against Desert Oasis. The kid ran for 250-some yards. Coming back off of an injury last week, so pretty impressive performance.
Shout out to Dominic.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Moapa destroys Rancho. Western at Spring Valley. Look at Spring Valley, right in the thick of things.
Yeah.
D1A.
And just think, if they gave a good game to Moapa Valley, even though Moapa Valley squandered a lot of scoring chances, They could have beat Cheyenne. They should have beat Cheyenne. And they hammered Clark last week. Great second half. This Kristen Tozzi kid's a good punter, Case. God, he's got a leg. He's also their quarterback and running back and linebacker or whatever else. But good punter. Spring Valley beats Western. Congratulations. I think the Grizzlies are playoff bound.
Easily they're making the playoffs and maybe can even make some noise there. Pahrump Valley at Clark is the next game.
Now, Pahrump Valley plays great in Pahrump and awful out of Pahrump. This game's at Clark. I don't care how banged up Clark is. They have to win this game.
What about? It's time for our favorite segment, Intern Katie, breaking down the
game.
2012 Pahrump Valley graduate, Katie Visconti. She tells us every week if Pahrump Valley's going to win.
Does she still live there?
I said graduate.
Oh.
I don't think so. Okay. Maybe, though. I hope she doesn't drive 2 hours here every day or however long it takes. She said Pahrump Valley's going to beat Clark.
Wow. If you're going to use that logic, then
behind Sam Tushnick.
Who's big when he was in middle school, according to her.
A big kid, big bruiser.
I don't see it happening.
I think I'm gonna pick Clark, that being said.
Okay, yeah.
I can't follow through with it. But
if that game was in Pahrump,
there's a chance.
I would have thought about it, but again, Pahrump outside of Pahrump, there'll be three people in the crowd for him.
I think it's going to be close, but Clark wins. I can't pick Clark to blow out anyone after last week.
I agree with you.
All right, so Clark gets a close win for me. You think it'll be a little bit more lopsided. Next game, Sunrise Mountain at Virgin Valley. Whew, things have really gone downhill for Virgin Valley lately.
Yeah, the winner of this game basically stays alive for the fourth playoff spot, in my opinion.
Yeah, and
it's not going to be Sunrise Mountain, who's won twice in 6 years.
Oh, how have we not mentioned? It's the Sawyer's Bowl, right?
Yeah, it is the Sawyer's Bowl.
the kids will be a little bit more pumped up.
Virgin, the three returning varsity players at Virgin Valley has, yeah.
I mean, you're involved with the whole program when you're the head coach. These kids know him.
Yeah, that's true.
And I know they'll be fired up. I think they win this game. Sunrise Mountain, though, could give them – it could be close. Desert Pines at Boulder City.
Good game, actually, right?
I think did I pick against Boulder City last week? Probably.
Good game. Desert Pines has got this great ability to play awful. Nobody in town plays down to their competition like Desert Pines.
Really?
Find me another team.
I thought we said Chaparral was better.
Shep has improved, but in the second half, Desert Pines shut them out and they ran over them.
Okay.
I mean, Desert Pines, if they come ready to play, I think they're in a class of their own. I really do.
It's tough making that trip to Boulder, though.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, Boulder.
Boulder could put some Jimmy and John.
Boulder could actually throw the ball a little bit this year.
Yeah, Boulder isn't the Boulder City that's not going to win this game. This is going to be a good game. This could be the game of the week. Just look, Boulder was beating Clark by 13 or 14 in week one. Mm-hmm. Clark came back and won.
Yeah.
Clark and DP played a back-and-forth game that could have been won by anybody, right?
Correct.
And now DP goes to Boulder.
I have visions. I know the teams are a lot different, but I have visions of last year when Desert Pines just destroyed Boulder City.
They did. Well, and I hate to bring this up because you laugh every time. You know what I'm going to say, right? What? Boulder City does not have one player that has the speed to contain anybody from Desert Pines.
I actually don't think that's crazy in this case. I think okay. It's when you said the second best team in town doesn't have isn't as fast as a JV team.
Okay. It's crazy. Okay. I just think that Cheyenne's skill position, this is makes it a
yeah,
debut.
it's a big gap for sure. Desert okay. Pines wins this game. Sierra Vista at Cheyenne. I got to teach you a lesson of sticking by the teams that you back. Because you were already off the Vegas bandwagon after 1 week. Sierra Vista played just as poorly. I'm not jumping off the bandwagon. I've got Sierra Vista going to Cheyenne and upsetting them.
You know, there's something about Cheyenne when you win back-to-back close games where you actually think you're better than what you are. And I think Cheyenne thinks that they're better than Sierra Vista, and it's a home game, and why not? I'm going with Cheyenne.
I'm going Sierra Vista. This will be a fun one to watch. I think it'll be within a touchdown either way. Del Sol at Chaparral. Wow, we hardly ever disagree on the last game, but I kind of like Del Sol here.
I like Chaparral. I don't think Del Sol should even have been built. It took too many kids away from Chaparral. I went to Chaparral, so I'm allowed to have an opinion on that.
Absolutely. And you lived in the Del Sol district.
And
for
I lived
a long
in
time.
The Del Sol zone for 4 or 5 years. I love Shap. I'm sorry I went there. That's why I'm picking him.
All right. Before we sign off, can we go back real quick and discuss this Palo Verde at Liberty game? I said it should be 13.5. You said 11.5. Why don't we middle it and make it 12.5?
That's not middle. 12 would be middle.
11.5 and 13.5?
Oh, okay. You're right.
I mean, I'm not a math major here. But
neither am I. You want to go two bets then?
Yeah, I think this game is big enough okay. that we should.
All right.
So I'm going to take Palo plus 12.5.
And if anybody cares, in college, I've got UNLV plus 12.5 at San Diego State. Kiefer's got minus 12.5. We bet at the beginning of the year, winner gets a stromboli from T-Bird on Eastern, which is the best stromboli in town, and they don't sponsor our show. The Nevada Department of Public Safety does. Don't text and drive, and let us know if you have a nomination for our Player of the Week. Shout out to Mr. Stevenson from Centennial High. 4 touchdowns, nearly 200 yards, big win against the Legacy Longhorns.
Winner's going to eat with us later, so you can talk about the stromboli at the end of the year with us. Thanks a lot for listening. Prep Sports Now.